Any questions at all? Oh yeah, one back there. Yes.
What is your opinion of the third volume of Robert Key's The Green Flag, Ourselves Alone, in the general context of which you've been speaking? And maybe a second question, do you read anything into the fact that 170,000-180,000 went from Redmond and only 10,000 remained in the Irish Volunteers? Does it say anything to you about the general attitude of Irish people at the time?
Now, it's some time since I read the Robert Key book, to be honest. But generally, I must say, when I did read it, I found it helpful. You know, I found it helpful. That's all I can say. But the other question you raise is interesting, and the significance of it. I see the significance of it that the whole of the cultural renewal, despite what people tend to portray, was content at one stage with moving on to home rule. I think one can't deny that the Irish Volunteers were linked and united to get home rule. The other thing which would substantiate that is, it's well known that Sinn Féin was dead, moribund, by 1914. The parties were mostly there on paper. There's one or two good books on that, but the organisation had effectively gone. The Sinn Féin organisation had effectively gone. So you have that situation, and people were prepared to move in to go and fight in the trenches, to put it like that. I think the people that remained outside, the Irish Volunteers that remained the Irish Volunteers, they were influenced by two considerations, I'd say. They did feel that the home rule that had been promised had not been delivered, that something could have been done and should have been done before the war. And they were also influenced, I would suggest, by a belief in the writings of Casement that England was guilty of a crime against Europe by its colonial policy and expansion. Now, the book was a fairly seminal book, and Brendan Clifford has written about it in the Athol Press. But it wasn't just the book itself which one tended to express. Varieties of extracts from it were appearing in Irish Freedom and some of these revolutionary journals. So there were a few people who, obviously the IRB would have remained separatist, but some of the others who joined the Irish Volunteers and were prepared to join the Home Rule movement left it, I would say, because they really, on an intellectual basis, didn't feel that the World War was justified. They were being caught up in a sort of imperial war on England's part, which, if you reflect on it, the peace treaty at Versailles at the end of the war would justify that feeling. And the other one, they'd been betrayed over the Home Rule. But basically, if you're suggesting, the first conclusion I draw is that the whole of the revival was of a constitutional variety. That's what I would think. Even the Gaelic League, I mean, Douglas Hyde is very clear. I think there's something in the book about it. Douglas Hyde is quite prepared to say that the Gaelic League, they produced moderate men, was a term he used, moderate men. And then it was changed for those two reasons. Is that all right?
Thank you very much.
Ian Cash, sure.
Yeah. In relation to your remarks about that 19th of heart, you dwelt on the incidents, as you said, in Dunmanway. But to be more correct, it was around Bandon. It's not to say that it didn't extend out into Dunmanway, go into Skene and places like that. But I think people might go away with the impression that you're a bit soft on those who've done it. Because I don't think you should go away with that feeling about it. Like, because even though it did start with the killing by a British soldier of Commandant O'Neill, from Kilbreton. It took a life of its own, and within a few days, 9 Protestant people were killed. They were not young people. Now, I accept that at that time, younger Protestant people were helping the British forces, and it was well known that they were going around planting old houses and things like that. Well, these people, assuming they were overwrought with what happened to Comet and Dorleen, but they most certainly went overboard with the killing of 9 Protestant people, and the vast majority of them were in their 70s and 80s. They weren't the young people.
Yeah.
But it's an important incident in itself, and he has made an awful lot of he brought a lot of people's attention to it, did Mr. Hart. And I was very sad to see another man of a family that I happen to know wrote a book in more recent years, can't think of the name, just called Dark Blood or something.
No, Dark Track.
Dark Track. And he picked up his history from Mr. Hart. And he's indicative of these lazy historians. He picked it up from that, and he dealt with the killing of Admiral Somerville. And his conclusion was that the people who done it were people who hated Protestants. And that was all wrong. Well, it just shows you the danger that comes from the writings of people like Hart. When you get people, often from abroad, who don't go in any depth to our history, but just plagiarise some of Hart's work and repeat the old thing. But he brought it up to that particular time. I happen to know the men, maybe some others here too, do too, who were involved in the Somerville affair. And however, in my opinion, ill-advised the action was, it certainly wasn't prompted by the hatred of Protestants or anything like that. Very wrong way to think that.
But whatever was the basis of it, was
not a disgrace. Yes, just to be clear, that when it happened, I think there's no doubt, I tried to indicate that, when it happened in 1922, and at that time, the truce was in operation. There should have been no military action on the part of the IRA side at all. That's absolutely clear. And as Meta Ryan makes clear in her book, the issue then is there was, and I agree with you, there's a large level of retaliation for the killing of O'Neill by obviously his colleagues, and killing these Protestant people. I believe, I don't have chapter and verse for each one of them, whether they were in actually an anti-Sinn Féin society or a loyalist organisation, who may in the past have been giving information, and it was for that reason that they were picked on. But they certainly should have been picked on at that time. In other words, there was a ceasefire. And I think it's for that reason. There was no, to the best of my knowledge, not altogether. During the War of Independence proper, you didn't get publicly Doyle Aaron expressing regret for what happened in terms of the shooting, or what they called of spies or informers. You do get a bit about Mrs. Lindsay, but the at this particular time you did. As you know, the Doyle Aaron was in a strange position after 1922. It was divided, and both sides, as I tried to indicate, did condemn the killings. The killings were condemned. And then it's just a matter of trying to identify, although it's not much, I suppose, in terms of attitude. But the killing should be condemned. But to say as that it was because they were Protestants, I wouldn't think that, from the evidence, that wouldn't appear to be the case. The title, the difficulty with Peter Hart's work, and to be clear, I suppose I've been having a few knocks, the man has produced a lot of new material, and it needs examining. And his use of statistical tables needs examining. That's absolutely true. I think you yourself were indicating, the way he actually frames it and develops that chapter is very misleading. If I recall, he has the heading on it, Taking It Out on the Protestants, which referred actually to a completely different incident, to a man called Dennis Lawden, who was friendly with Dr. Stopford, who was a Protestant in Kilbritton. And he was chatting to her, and they'd had a run-in getting a car from some Protestant family, and she said to him, "Well, what have you been doing?" "Oh," he said, "we've just been taking it out on the Protestants." And it's in that, almost like a joke to her, who was a Protestant. Now, that is put at the heading of the chapter on the Dunmanway killings and gives a slant to it, which is completely distorted. Now, all I can say is, in Meta Ryan's book, these things are argued out far more minutely than I have done, and the great value of her books are, she was interviewing people since the 1970s. The difficulty is to get a fair hearing. That she produces her book, I don't know if it's still allowed, is it? So, it can't be reviewed.
Yeah,
no, but in the Cork Examiner, it has. I don't think it's been reviewed in the Cork Examiner. But what happens? The book is a rebuttal of Peter Hart in several precise incidents over Dunmanway and over Kilmichael in particular, and other ones. What happens? The book gets then reviewed by a colleague of Peter Hart, who damns her book with sort of faint praise and praises Hart's books, you see. And so it's this business of getting a fair review. And why I've spoken, I would not normally engage in such a personal comment about the Peter Hart thing at all, except for this reason. That is a fact. But the other thing, almost more serious, is that his findings have been taken up completely uncritically and blindly by Kevin Myers and Owen Harris, and they're churning out this sectarian label, which I don't think is correct. Sorry, I've gone on too long.
I accept what you're saying. I hear the Republican philosophy in the War of Independence was largely dictated by the Proclamation of 1916. That was the touchstone. And that document can stand beside any document in history. It could stand with Lincoln at Gettysburg or any other document in history for its nobility. It was in many ways a document before its time, where it felt it put women on the same footing as men. It was generous, chivalrous, and any noble, any lord you could hear. That was the philosophy that guided the volunteers. The great tribute that is due to the volunteers who conducted the War of Independence is that despite the pogrom in the north, where there was mass murder of Catholics going on, and that news was coming down, that the IRA were able to control their volunteers, and that Hart and people like it, they had to home in on one isolated incident, which was carried out during the truce, which was condemned immediately by all the leadership. Incidentally, shortly afterwards, the Church of Ireland Vestry and Skull met, and they issued a statement, and they said the treatment of the Protestants in West Clark had been exemplary, and apart from the latest, the isolated incidents, the Protestants of West Cork had been well treated. Hart has homed in on one isolated incident to try to damage the reputation of the volunteers. And as I say, I think that it was remarkable to the slate that was shown by the IRA during that period, in spite of the mass murder of Catholics in the north, which was going at the time, that they were able to restrain their volunteers.